quitting smoker.
Tonight, how you doing? Kate Delaney on the ship with the rest of you. We're trapped like rats underneath, aren't we? We're all steerage. That's what I've decided since we've gone through the gauntlet once again. We have had to run through it because we have no budget and we have a debt ceiling that had to be raised and we have lots of fear and lots of loathing, frankly, across this great nation. What's so depressing is, yes, we are open for business again, but the same old story could get repeated in the next couple of months. So here's what happens. Earlier in the day, on Wednesday, the Senate votes. They pass a budget, they lift the debt ceiling, all of that. And they also vote to restore the money back to the people who now are coming back to work on Thursday, the government workers who were furloughed. Then, so the Senate says yes, then the House picks it up before midnight. It happens before midnight, they approve it, they sign it. You know, sign it from their perspective and then take it to the president to get it signed. So the president signs the bill passed by Congress to end the partial government shutdown, raise the debt ceiling, ending weeks and weeks of money thrown out the window to the tune of, I don't know, maybe $25 billion, and sending all those people who were enjoying a little bit of a break, who were furloughed, back to work after 2.5+ weeks. Because it was 16 days for this government shutdown. In the end, we are still stuck with future dates, a true budget by the first couple of weeks in January, and the debt ceiling being lifted, meaning we can borrow more money and 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 more money. We can do that until the beginning of February. So this has to be tackled anyway. And do you feel betrayed? Do you feel like you were let down, you were led astray, taken down a garden path? I don't think it was a garden path and nobody believed that. But it's infuriating when you really examine where your tax dollars are going. I mean, I've said this before and there are a lot of different analogies you can use. You know, when you're a kid, you don't think about money, even if you're smart and good with money and you learn about it, you don't think about, okay, this is my money, this is my country, okay, I'm willing to pay my fair share of taxes, but why do I have to keep bearing the burden of bad governing, bad mistakes? It'd be like working for a company that, oh, gee, it's kind of cool to work for this company, but they were supposed to pay me this much money, and I was supposed to have enough money to put into my retirement account, but the accountant just gets the numbers screwed up so we don't get our bonuses. It's not straightened out. And in the end, I'm making way less than I thought. And that's what's happening. Your take-home pay is way less than you thought because your government is picking your pocket. And they're picking your pocket because they have to, because 80% of the government is funded by the taxpayers. So when we eat it for these sideshow antics, we pay for it. We're paying the bill for this. There is no carpe diem for you or for me. And in the end, does it accomplish anything? That's the problem. So for 10 years, we've had this going on. And the last couple, remember 2011, last minute deal. I mean, we're here in the same space as we were before. Even some of the same faces, a lot of the same faces. And wait and see what happens. While all of this is unfolding, and the dates are interesting, because in January you're going to have a lot of people that are upset because they realized that, hey, I'm not part of this whole Obamacare thing. I have insurance. My insurance is good. My kids are covered. I'm covered. I'm all good. No, I don't know. Thank you. I don't want it. But you're affected by it. So some people who thought they were getting good insurance, and they were, and maybe they still are going to have to pay triple for it in some cases. I've said this before. This isn't just numbers I'm plucking out of the top of my head. I've talked to people in California. I've talked to people in the Midwest. I've talked to people in the East Coast who've called shows that I've been on to talk specifically about their situation. And you talk about people who are just depressed because they had no idea that they were getting hit on the head with it. They didn't think that was happening. Now, if you're really struggling and you can get Obamacare at the cheapest possible rate and it gives you the best bang for your buck, it might be okay. But the problem is, even then, how are you spending the money that you weren't spending before? And if you get fined, you get a one-time fine. The lowest fine would be like $95. And, of course, every year that would go up. So it would change eventually if it stayed in place. It would change the people who were opting not to get health insurance and just pay the fine. But therein lies the problem. Therein lies the problem that there are a lot of people that are about to be stung in a very big way that have no idea that it's going to happen. With the government and the shutdown, we knew, we saw the handwriting on the wall once again that it's over, it's done. And we're back in the same spot. And we're back to the blame game, and we're back to, okay, the people who are furloughed are getting paid, and everybody's back on board, and the government is funded. And ultimately, we've been talking about this for far too long. It's been a crummy, crummy year for legislation. And why has it been a crummy year? It's been a crummy year because very few laws were passed. Not too much was really accomplished in Washington because so much of the focus was untangling a lot of the nonsense and the bickering back and forth. And for that, we pay the price. Less than 20 laws made. Less than 20. I'm going to say it was like 16. There still is time. There might be another law. Are there any good laws passed? But the shutdown is over. The deal is in. The fix is in. And will it be ultimately, will it stay? Will this come back around in January and February? Or will something else factor in? The Republicans, what I heard from somebody I know on the Hill who's pretty tired when they were talking to me, is that a lot of this has to do with the polls. They were so negative for the Republicans, so negative, that they don't absorb any more of this impact because they weren't going to defund Obamacare anyway. So eventually deciding, yeah, we just got to go along with this. We're just going to go in this direction. If the Republicans were smart, they'll wait and see how the whole Obamacare thing plays out anyway. Cory Booker wins the New Jersey Senate special election. Going to let you hear what he had to say coming up on the flip side of America Tonight. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Hi, this is Gary Cooper with Midas Resources, Gold and Silver. Government shutdown, inept politicians, entitlements, looming Obamacare. The death of the U.S. dollar as the global reserve currency is what nobody wants to acknowledge. We have a debt bubble that cannot be paid and will eventually crash the dollar. If you're concerned about keeping your money, why not consider storing your wealth in gold and silver? Call me, Gary Cooper, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 130. Together we'll discuss your options of buying gold and silver. Again, the global elite have plans for your money, and it doesn't include you. So call me, Gary Cooper, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 130, and we'll discuss your options of buying precious metals. Also, I can send you information on how you can roll over your IRA or 401k into a precious metal IRA. Again, don't get caught with money in your account when the dollar crashes. Call me, Gary Cooper, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 130.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products. Most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey guy at GoBerkey.com and be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey guy.
Won that Senate seat I was talking about, the special election, and it was kind of a contentious race back and forth, but Booker has a lot of people in his corner, especially in Newark, because he grew up there, he's worked the streets there, he's super educated guy, and heading to the polls, he's going to replace one of the senators there, and it'll return the majority to 10 seats that was depleted when Senator Frank Lautenberg died in June. So he's the first black senator from New Jersey, for what it's worth. I mean, do we actually still say those things? But I've seen that all over the place. The turnout was low, about 1.2 million voters, because in New Jersey they have 5.5 million. See, it just goes to show you, people don't go out and vote. And he had a double-digit lead over his closest opponent. And, you know, like I said, it was contentious. There was some nasty politicking going on, attacks from really all sides of this. But in the end, he pulled it out. And he seemed pretty jacked up to win. Here's what he had to say.
Because of this call to service, I moved to one of our toughest streets and began my work with some of New Jersey's toughest, greatest, most determined people here in this city to prove the truth that America can be great for every American. More than that, you didn't just vote, but you believed that your voice and your vote matter. You believe that you don't have to resign yourself to what's wrong, but you can do something. We can do something to make it right. We are founded to be great, not good, to be great. And that's why I'm going to Washington. Take back this sense of pride, not to play shallow politics that's used to attack and divide, but to engage in the kind of hard, humble service. Too many people are forgetting that the lines that divide us are nothing compared to those ties that bind us. When we come together, when we stand together, when we work together, there is nothing we can't do or achieve.
All right, so you hear Booker there, and, you know, I make the point and bring Booker up for a couple of different reasons. One, because, as I said before, follow the money, and it's so much about the money. To get elected these days is incredible. In this Senate race, where Booker had Ben Affleck and Matt Damon and Oprah Winfrey and Steven Spielberg and a lot of people contributing to his campaign, which he would need, because in the end, the amount of money for this race for Cory Booker, $11.2 million. $11.2 million to win this. $8 million plus, they say, was spent on the race as of late in September. That's incredible. So to become a senator in this country in a big state, you have to raise over $11 million, and you spend close to $9 million of it on the race. Wow. Wow. I mean, it's amazing, isn't it? And so it doesn't surprise anyone when we talk about the amounts of money that are spent in a presidential election. And in so many ways, there is so much wrong with that. And part of the problem why we are frustrated over the system partially has to do with that, because who are the people who are electable? You've got to have those fundraising skills, that's for sure, and you have to have those friends. I mean, otherwise, there's just no way you can compete. You can't compete, whether it's for a Senate race or a congressional race or certainly in the presidential race. It's an incredible amount of money that you would have backing you, because you just couldn't compete against somebody that would bury you in ads and everything else that they could possibly think of, because it's that reminder where you see the name over and over and over and over again that makes such a big, big difference. And Booker, like I said, was a known commodity anyway there, was from there, and certainly was the mayor, and did spent a lot of time out with the people helping after Sandy and some other things, and he would be pretty tough to knock it out anyway, for sure, because of that, I think, because he had such a big name, if you will, already. A couple of other quick things to throw at you, some odds and ends that I wasn't able to work in before. Obviously, the big story is we're talking about what's happening, the rippling effects of the government now being open. But we had Jason Bloom, my pal, on, who has been involved in a lot of big trials where he's a jury consultant, and he talked to us about Mark Cuban last week, and a jury actually came in and found that Mark Cuban did not trade on inside information when he sold stock in Mama.com to avoid a $750,000 loss. And this guy was hot afterwards, let me tell you, when he got out of the courthouse, because he said that they were liars and the government went after him. And so much money, they talk about money that's wasted going after Mark Cuban, the SEC bringing a lawsuit against him. They bring a civil suit, and then the judge dismisses the suit, but then an appeals court revives it. I mean, the whole thing is just crazy. They were definitely on a mission to try to nail him, and now they haven't done it. So it's a big blow to the SEC, because they were really, this is still after they won a huge case against Goldman Sachs, and I think they're trying to go after a couple of other people, but Cuban was small potatoes anyway, and the fact that they were going so hard and heavy after him was the craziest thing. This, again, is a waste of taxpayer money to use this case and to chase after Cuban and burn up all that do-re-mi. Makes absolutely no sense to me. The Redskins, the Washington Redskins, since I was a kid, the Redskins, my brother loved the Redskins. We had a Redskin helmet in the middle of his room since I think we were seven. And everybody's weighing in now on this whole image of the Redskins and how the name should be changed. And the owner, Daniel Snyder, so far hasn't said that that's what's going to happen. And in fact, he's tried to allude to the opposite and step away from it as much as he can. But PETA is now involved in this. And they're offering up some suggestions regarding the Redskins controversy with so many people believing that the Redskins moniker is racist and offensive to American Indians, that now PETA says the team should keep its name, but instead of using a Native American as its mascot, the new logo should be a potato, a Redskin potato. Really? Ha ha. That'd be disastrous. Can you imagine? Look at those potato heads. The bigger thing here, though, it's not about the PETA deal, is that so many people are weighing in on this. Bob Costas said it was just wrong. We talked about that earlier in the week, to have the Redskins name, that it was so offensive, and it was time to do something about that. But you think of how long that team has had that name and what it meant to them. Certainly they can change the name. It'll be interesting to watch that story, because in the land of political correctness, this one is one that has transcended the world of football. It's gone well beyond football with the opinions on whether or not they should flip this name, that it's not right to have that name, and it's very offensive, so it should be changed. And as I said, so far, they have not budged. Daniel Snyder has not moved on the Redskin name, sticking with it. And I don't think he will. I think if it gets changed, I don't think it gets changed in the next couple of years, maybe down the road. But I think he digs in and he fights this off, unless it just becomes too much. But I doubt it. He's the kind of guy that I don't think is going to be easily chased away from this, no matter what the court of public opinion says. Thanks so much to Nathan Reeder for his fine job, as always, on the technicals, and all of you for listening. We got it going. More next on America Tonight.
Normal blood pressure, naturally. How would that make you feel?
I'm Don from New Mexico. January of 2000, I had a heart attack. Then my real health began going downhill, and I had high blood pressure, high blood sugar, poor vision, and I really wasn't sleeping well. I was a mess, pretty much.
Don reports dramatic improvements with Heart and Body Extract.
I started taking Heart and Body Extract, and from within a few days, I started sleeping a lot better. My blood pressure normalized, my blood sugar normalized, and my sleep really did improve.
Experience these benefits and more when your body gets what it needs with the assistance of Heart and Body Extract. Order at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
Folks, I did not expect this at all. By the 7th, 8th, and 9th day, I saw dramatic improvements from taking Heart and Body Extract.
Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract. The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
And the winner of fallback pricing is you. The results are in from Freeze Dry Guy's You Be the Boss, Tell Us What You Want Us to Put on Sale campaign. After getting phone calls, emails, blog, and Facebook comments, nominating your favorite freeze-dried foods and dehydrated foods, you the people, you the bosses have spoken. We the staff at Freeze Dry Guy have listened, as we've done since 1970. So now, one item and one entire line of food are on special sale until the end of October. The entire line of popular non-GMO and gluten-free foods are 20% off. The Family First Responders Kit, loaded with delicious freeze-dried foods like hearty beef stew, lasagna, and mouth-watering strawberries, is roughly 30% off. Go to freezedryguy.com. That's freezedryguy.com to order or call 866-404-3663, 866-404-FOOD, and make your own deal. Thank you, boss.
The National Preppers and Survivalist Expo, presented by Triton Shelter Technologies, is the only national event designated for the prepper community. October 19th and 20th at the North Atlanta Trade Center in Atlanta, Georgia. Admission is free, and the doors open at 9 a.m. Join us and learn life-saving tips that can help you and your family handle crisis situations. Special guests include Kevin O'Brien from Nat Geo's Doomsday Preppers, David Crawford, author of Lights Out, the director and cast members from the movie Lights Out Saga, and more. Special guest speakers include GCN's own Dr. Joel Wallach, along with Dr. Bones, Nurse Amy, and Tom Martin, the director of the American Preppers Network, two-time Field and Stream champion Chad Weatherford, along with many other leading experts from around the country. Join us for the country's largest emergency preparedness event, absolutely free, October 19th and 20th at the North Atlanta Trade Center in Atlanta, Georgia. For more information, visit npsexpo.com. That's npsexpo.com.
It's time for a home security quiz. What effective home security device is smaller than a coffee cup, fakes out burglars into thinking someone is home at your house while you're away, plugs into any wall outlet, is recommended by many police departments, and sells for less than $30? Yes, it's fake TV. This year, about one in every 50 U.S. homes will have a break-in, with burglars usually picking the easy target, a dark house that looks like no one is home. Fake TV is a small electronic security device that makes it look like someone is home watching TV by simulating the light from a real TV. Fake TV could be the difference between coming home to a secure house or one that's been ransacked. To get your fake TV for only $29.95 with free shipping, go to faketv.com or call 1-877-5-FAKE-TV. That's 877-532-5388 or go to faketv.com. Fake TV, the burglar deterrent.
Call connected to the NSA. Complete transmission to the NSA. Suspending your rights for the duration of the permanent war.
When we get to kick things around with this guy here on America Tonight, Ivan Eland joins us. And Ivan, as you know, has had some tremendous columns that we've talked about on the air before, and we've talked with him about them because I think he's dead on so many of his opinions. He's a senior fellow and director of the Center on Peace and Liberty, the Independent Institute. And he had a piece the other day in the Huffington Post. And just let me tell you what the headline was, and this gives you an idea about so much of what I spew anyway here on the show. We don't need more spin about the NSA's unconstitutional domestic snooping. We need it stopped. And because, of course, now we've heard about more of the information that's being collected, the bulk collection of many of our telephone conversations, or really that metadata way to measure things. We heard this with the IM chats and then collecting addresses, and it basically goes on and on. And we've had a lot of people on this show who worked for the NSA and elsewhere who have confirmed some of the things that Ed Snowden started to dump out. So, Ivan, thanks for popping back on the show.
Thanks for having me back on.
So explain to me, you hear this and you start to, you know, more of this keeps coming out. And I love what you did. You pointed out the fact that you have General Keith Alexander, who's the director of the agency, which I said I thought the poor man was going to have a heart attack because it seemed to me like there was always these excuses every time he had to start to answer these tougher questions about, no, don't worry about it. This information that's being culled, it's, you know, it's dumped out in 5 years and it's stored away. And it seemed like every single time he was painting himself into a different corner. And you spell out a couple of different things in your piece. And as I said at the top, the headline tells it all. We need it stopped. How dangerous is this to all of us as Americans, especially when we weigh this with constitutional issues and whatnot?
Well, I think it's very dangerous. I mean, they're collecting the phone records of everybody in the United States and, you know, citizens, people who are resident aliens and people who are visiting, et cetera. Them collecting this is very worrisome. They say they don't investigate unless they have reasonable, articulable, which is not even a word, suspicion that the person is linked with terrorism. But that's a lower standard than we have in the Constitution. The Fourth Amendment of the Constitution requires that for the government to search your belongings or your electronic communications, to search anything, they have to have probable cause, and that's a legal term, that you've committed a crime. And, of course, this doesn't rise to that standard. So, therefore, it's blatantly unconstitutional by the provision when you compare it to the Constitution of what the NSA is doing. I think that, frankly, it's not worth it. I mean, terrorism is terrible when it happens, but we're not faced with a nuclear threat from USSR anymore. There are still nuclear weapons around, but the tensions are much lower now. And we really don't have any threats to our existence as a nation anymore. We have two huge moats and weak and friendly neighbors, and we have a big nuclear arsenal which deters anybody from invading us. So terrorism is the only thing we face, and a lot of the time, these terrorists are being ginned up by our own actions overseas. Many of these people wouldn't attack the U.S. They might not be nice people, but they wouldn't attack the U.S. if we didn't fool around and meddle in Muslim lands. And the question is, why do we do that? And the foreign policy elite has one answer, and the people of the country should have another answer because it's endangering them. And the foreign policy elite seem to want to run an aggressive interventionist foreign policy. I mean, it's unbelievable to me that we're even thinking about intervening in Syria after all the disasters that we've had in Afghanistan, Iraq, and Libya, and all our recent interventions. And there were people like John McCain and Lindsey Graham calling for U.S. intervention, which we can't afford because we have a $17 trillion debt. And why not save a few bucks and also make our country safer? So the question is, do these surveillance programs really do much? And from the congressional hearings, they really only found one case where these phone records had an impact, and that was a guy who donated, I think it was $8,500 to a Somali group, and they were able to find him. And it wasn't even just based on this phone records data that they investigated. There were other factors. So it only helped in that case. And if that's the only case, this is very bad for a republic, a government in a republic, to be spying on its own citizens. And the NSA claims that this is not spying, they're just collecting the data, and that you have no right of privacy to your phone conversations. And they cite a 1979 Supreme Court case, but I would ask the Supreme Court, you don't have a right to privacy in your phone records? I mean, that's absurd. You hire, you contract with whatever phone company you have for your service, but you don't expect that the phone company is going to sell that to everybody or give it to the government or whatever. And so I think people do have a reasonable expectation of privacy in their phone conversations. And to me, your chances of getting killed by a terrorist are more remote than getting struck by lightning. They're about the chances of getting smashed by an asteroid from outer space. So terrorism is a rare event, and I don't think we need to have this program because it really doesn't do that much to catch terrorists, as we've seen this one example that they can muster of this phone records program.
Yeah, and it's interesting, too, going back to the top, if it wasn't such a big deal, it was no big deal, then why wouldn't we have been made aware of this? Now, we were, in a sense, a couple of years ago, but right from the get-go, if it wasn't such a big deal, it would have been revealed. It really only kicked open because of the Ed Snowden stuff and then some other reports that followed. Otherwise, I don't think people realized just how vast it was, I guess, don't you think?
Yes, I think you're right. It's kind of interesting. The NSA says, well, just trust us because, you know, we have all these procedures and everything in place to make sure that the spying on Americans doesn't go out of bounds. But at the same time, the only way we learned about that they were even doing it at all was from the Snowden case. And so now they're saying, well, yeah, we need to explain this to the American people before. But, of course, they're only doing that because it was exposed by somebody, you know, who had worked as a contractor for NSA. And also, if you recall, in the 1960s and 70s, the NSA, along with the Army and the CIA, spied on domestic anti-war groups. So they don't have a very good track record. I have no problem with NSA spying on foreigners.
Right.
And, you know, especially if they're a threat to the United States. But when it comes to Americans, they should not be collecting the phone records of all Americans because it's impossible to make that constitutional because there's no way that all Americans, that they have a probable cause to believe that all Americans are involved in terrorism. It's just you know, that doesn't pass the laugh test.
Yeah, I agree with you. And then plus you think from this other perspective of what a waste of resources, whatever contracting out or whatever they're doing, it's money that's spent, it's taxpayer money. And this is, what is this doing? This is not getting us to the means to the end if there's really such a terrible threat of that. So there's just all kinds of holes in this whole thing that absolutely don't make sense. And I got to tell you this, Ivan, one thing I was really surprised about, I think, was because of when this whole story broke, is that Keith Alexander didn't, there was no resignation, there was no him backing away, because as he was always on the defense, he was always saying it wasn't a big deal. Were you surprised that, are you surprised he's still the head of the NSA?
Well, I think what I was really surprised about was in our society, you know, we cherish the separation of powers that we have among the three branches, the judicial, the executive, and the legislative branch. Well, when this broke, everybody lined up behind the NSA, the White House and the executive branch, the congressional committees, the intelligence committees, and, of course, the court, this secret court, which I think has no place in the Republic either, and is a lapdog of the NSA, of course, lined up. They're supposed to be doing oversight of the NSA, but they've admitted that the NSA has hoodwinked them on several occasions. Another reason not to trust, this agency to do the right thing. But when you see that all the branches of government lining up to support an unconstitutional search, which is blatantly against the Constitution, you have to ask, is the system broken there? And I think that one of the reasons that his head hasn't rolled is everybody said, well, you know, after 9/11, we need to do these sorts of things. Well, even after 9/11, and 9/11 was a horrendous crime, North America has been the lowest number of incidents of terrorism in the world. I mean, we're one of the safest continents for terrorism because we're away from the centers of conflict. And if we would reduce our foreign policy, we would have even less of a problem than we have with it now, because most of this is blowback from U.S. intervention in various Islamic countries. And some of these countries, you ask, well, why are we doing this? And we don't really need to trade off our civil liberties for security. In fact, if we do less in foreign policy, we'll be more secure. So we won't have this problem of reducing our civil liberties. The Republic, well, for many years now, since World War II, we've been letting our foreign policy erode the Republic. The foreign policy and the defense policy of the United States is supposed to preserve the institutions of the Republic. It's supposed to defend our way of life. And in fact, the blowback from these foreign policies is undermining the security and the institutions, as we see in this case, of our republic.
Yeah, absolutely. Ivan Elin, thanks so much for joining us on America Tonight.
Thanks for having me on.
In a complicated society, stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document? Worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong, or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call, and how much will it cost? Our friends at Legal Shield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average over 19 years of experience, Legal Shield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to Legal Shield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let Legal Shield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE. 855-340-7283.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these specials. A 14 by 21 foot shop for under $6,000 or a 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right. That's $5,000. Square feet under $30,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
Are you someone who forges your own trail? Are you a pioneer with the need to homestead your self-reliant entrepreneur spirit? If so, RF Bunker has a franchise opportunity for you. RF Bunker is the fastest growing emergency and survival retail store in the United States. RF Bunker franchise opportunities are leading the way for business-minded heroes seeking adventure in owning and operating their own emergency supply and survival store. Visit rfbunker.com or call 866-623-2932. This offer is not being directed to any resident of the register required states.
What if you had a witness everywhere you drive? Now you can with video-cam.com. From truckers to motorcyclists, the handy video dash cam can be used for insurance claims, accidents, police encounters, road rage, or natural disasters. Has instant screen playback and optional night vision. Get the best quality, affordable HD dash cameras available at video-cam.com. That's video-cam.com. Or call 855-855-2022. Always have a witness with video dash cam.
In 1965, this was a sound. Come in, sit down. One more time. Fantasy.
Do you have ill feelings towards Senator Cruz?
No, listen, we've got, you know, Republicans up here. Because we're Republicans, we're a little bit more independent-minded than our friends across the aisle. Some are a little bit more independent-minded than others.
All right, that's Bill Cunningham with a little quickie hit, an interview with John Boehner, the Speaker of the House. Heard what he had to say, because everybody wants to know if Cruz is tanking the Republicans or not. See, there's that penchant to go after somebody. Who is it? Welcome back to This Side of America. Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. So we're talking about the fact that it's over. It's done. Obama signed the bill. The shutdown's done. We avert the debt default. But we push it off to fight another day, and that's the deal. John Boehner, does he stay in that position of Speaker of the House? I think it's kind of iffy at this point. Maybe. The early handicapping is he narrowly gets the spot back another time. He narrowly gets it back so that he won't be blamed for this, that it's he's not being blamed. He got a standing ovation when they voted in the House, and there was plenty of votes to make it pass, and it did. So the Senate did it earlier in the day, and the House conceded, if you will, later at night, late at night. And now people are talking about whether or not you should toss the person that you elected out of Congress at this point. Are you to that level of frustration? How's that? Are you to that level of frustration? 855-266-5283. 855-266-KATE. If you want to throw in your two cents on it, a lot of opinions out there as to, you know, who to blame, what happens next. It really is fascinating to watch the government do the same thing over and over again. It's sad because how much money have we wasted in the 10-year period with all this sidestepping, closing down the government a couple of times that's happened along the way, And by not having a budget ready, by not, you know, having to be forced with this raising the debt ceiling. I mean, why do we even raise the debt ceiling? Why do we have a debt ceiling? Throw that out. I mean, there's no, doesn't seem to be anything that anybody's adhering to. So why do we have a debt ceiling? It's just the land of borrow, borrow, borrow. So it's like a crutch. Why do we have that crutch if nobody is trying to honor that? Like, let's not have to raise the debt ceiling. So what does it take out of the economy? It varies, but some economists say 20 billion, some say 24 to 25 billion. It's a whole lot of billions. I know that. It's a whole lot of billions. So it's a terrible deal in a way. The fact that this has now also cost us, and cost us what? It's a crazy fool's errand, I think, to do this constantly and put up with this dysfunctional government. It's your money. It's my money. It's your life. It's my life. This is the reality of it. I mean, this smashes us in the face. This is the reality. How much would you like to save on your taxes? How much would you like to save for your family? How much of this is taking a bite out of your budget? Guarantee something. Guarantee it. 855-266-KATE, 855-266-5283. The man who worked his way all up the ladder of the defense eventually to the top dog, Leon Panetta, who left the government, said something that I think is totally the way we needed to look at this 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago. But short and sweet, here's what Leon Panetta had to say.
My hope is that everyone learns the second lesson, which is that it's time to govern, to roll up their sleeves, and to get to work.
Yeah, I agree. At some point, you have to do that. I mean, you can have differences, but boy, anybody out there has run a business? I've run a business. I've been part of a business. I was a COO of a business once, and trust me, we rolled up many sleeves and disagreed a lot, but you don't get anywhere unless you dig in, and that's the problem that we have. It's about the person who has the money. Who moved my money? Stacy in Mississippi. How you doing, Stacy?
How you doing, sweetheart?
I'm good. I'm hanging in. What's your take on all of this?
Well, one thing I wanted to ask you, was I right or wrong last night as the first president willing to fall us in Nixon? I said I was probably wrong.
Yeah, no, the first default of modern times is Obama. Would have been Obama if that had happened. He would have been the one that would have been the first default. It would have been him. So, because remember, that's that whole debt ceiling thing. I said, why do we even have the debt ceiling in modern times if we're not,
right?
Because that's all we're doing. We just push it up. It's stupid. They should just throw it out. They're not beholden to it.
That's not all. I want to ask two more things. Okay. About Obama said, I want to ask just two more things. I'm going to let you go, sweetie. Anyway, I don't mean to hold you up, but anyway, and plus I've got some other listeners starting to listen to you also too.
And, yay!
Hey, you're right. And anyway, they ain't know nothing about it. But anyway, you know, Obama said one time, I used to be a Democrat. I've said it before, and I'm not anymore. And I don't know what to be. Anyway, let's just leave it there. Anyway,
that's furious. I get it. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Now, ain't words I wanted to use. But anyway, like Obama says, no one done anything on their own. Someone else helped them. Well, someone else did help me. I'm disabled now, okay? And it's not my fault. I had a wreck, and I wasn't even driving, broke my neck, bruised spinal cord. I thought it would be a point of police to finish my life. Thank God I could stand up. But anyway, I said, nobody done anything on their own. Well, my dad loaned me $10,000. I bought a bunch of junk furniture, screwed and glued together and everything until I got in the first order out of imports and everything. And a little bit less than 7 years, I done moved to, well, in about 3.5 years, moved to a store. We even put a staircase in, 2 stories full of furniture. I done that on my own, by myself. And then with a little less than 7 years on 16th Avenue, main drag in Laurel, Mississippi, Hi-Fi Cruiser sold to them at that running planes into those buildings and all. I had his slam stack put by his 7,500, 8,000 square foot building. I had my brother in the building. Anyway, I had it almost halfway paid for. I had all the furniture paid for in it and everything. I had about $500,000 worth, and it all come out of $10,000. And I paid my dad back his $10,000, plus I'll probably give him another $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 out of there. It's not as good as my heart, because I don't make so much money until that junk happens. Obama's a liar about that. And another thing, last thing I want to say is about the tax. And I'm not going to call his name. I'll just say he's real very, very close kin to me, close to my age. I know I sound old now. I'm 48, but I just got a deep voice, country pie. But anyway, he's very, very close kin to me. And he's got a family. He's got a wife and two little children. And anyway, he worked 52 hours. He is a boss man over this company. But anyway, he worked 52 hours. He'll get out there just like anybody else. We'll work like a dog. Worked 52 hours. Took $100 out for something, putting in something they saved for his money and all, and pays wife's insurance and all. Anyway, as far as taxes, they took out in 1 week, I ain't talking about no month, 1 week, $500 in taxes. And as far as insurance, is insurance Obama? And he started his bunch of bull crap. His insurance for him, his wife, and his two children, $2,180-something a month. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep. Yep. Unaffordable. Unaffordable. Exactly, Stacy. I feel for your family. I've heard these stories over and over again. Thanks for the call. It's the personalization of it, of what's happened to him and what's happened to other people where they're working, as he says, 52 hours or however many hours. And that's just not affordable. You can't afford that. So this is what's now going to happen. People are going to realize they thought they were getting a good deal, and a few people will. It depends on your income. But if you're anywhere in the middle, which the middle isn't that much, you're going to be caught up in a higher premium that you can't afford. And then what about the deductibles? They're even scarier. I understand your frustrations. Thanks so much for listening to this hour of America Tonight.
My name is Josh. One World Way is the best in the market, hands down. I'm in the U.S. Navy, and I live a very active lifestyle. Being a vegetarian, it's hard getting all the protein I need. I tried their vegan protein powders, and I just wasn't feeling any change. The meathead supplement store whey protein kind of worked for a bit, but it left me feeling bloated, and my digestion seemed to slow down. By some divine stroke of luck, I heard a commercial of One World Way on the radio, and it struck my interest. I have to tell you, I am so glad I got it. I have been taking it for a week, and the results are amazing. I don't feel tired when I have to get up at 4:30 a.m. I look and feel better. I recover faster from my two workouts a day. When I don't have time to eat good food, I take it, and I don't feel the urge to stuff my face for hours. I got up this morning, and I looked the leanest I've looked since high school. I can go on and on. The best I can do to repay you is buy more and tell my friends.
Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldwhey.com.